Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. We have made it to the weekend, and we also made it to a pretty exciting Big Ten tournament. Badgers were on absolute fire this afternoon. Good to see them take down UCLA. And, of course, outside of basketball, there's not a whole lot to talk about when it comes to the Green Bay Packers, not a ton of moves and or headlines, other than guys signing other places, whether it's Corey Ballantyne latching on with the Colts or Eric Wilson going back home there to the spot he was drafted, his first home in the NFL with the Minnesota Vikings. But outside of that, not too many moves being made by the Green and Gold. Brian Gutekunst and company continuing to wait while the market settles and or turning their eye to the draft, perhaps. Dante Fowler, who's a potential pass rush addition. I know Justice and I talked about him a couple days ago. He has signed with the Dallas Cowboys on a one-year deal. The potential offerings there in free agency are certainly starting to dry up. Sure, starting to feel like the Packers are leaning into the idea of developing from within, improving from the squad they have. And I know that's probably not what Packers fans want to hear, certainly not what I really expected. I knew there were certainly going to be some restrictions and constrictions to what they could do, given the market that was on offer. It's not exactly or wasn't exactly a robust edge group in free agency. And who knows? The Hendrickson thing is still sitting out there. Perhaps the Packers shock the world and make a trade, though I am not holding my breath on that. But speaking of holding people's breaths, I know the fan bases in New York here with the Giants and then in Pittsburgh with the Steelers are awaiting one Aaron Charles Rogers to make a decision. And a very interesting report this afternoon from Diana Rossini over at The Athletic stating that the Minnesota Vikings are indeed having conversations about reaching out to Rodgers to become their starting quarterback, interest that apparently is reciprocated by Mr. Rodgers. And while he waits for the Vikings and or that decision, the Steelers and the Giants are left kind of twisting in the wind, though I know the Giants are meeting with Russell Wilson. It is fascinating to watch people kind of squirm and wait and complain while Rodgers is, you know, I know there was the picture of him on the beach, you know, taking his time. The first time in his entire NFL career, he has become a free agent, a true free agent. And it's been what, 5 days since the start of free agents, or sorry, since the start of the legal tampering period. It's been literally 2 days since the start of free agency. And everyone's complaining about Aaron Rodgers not making a decision. I have zero issue with Rodgers taking his time now that for the first time in his professional life, he has a choice about where he wants to go play. It's just funny to me watching this day-to-day business that is up to the minute with updates from reporters about signings and things. And because Rodgers isn't part of that and there are others' decisions waiting on it, people complain that he's making it all about him. I don't get that sense at all. In fact, this Vikings development kind of turns that on its head and sure sounds like the Vikings are what are making everybody wait. And I'm just here to say, I know I've said it before somewhat jokingly, and you know, inside every joke, there's a kernel of truth. Man, I really do hope Rodgers plays for the Vikings. I would love it. I think the drama would be amazing. The narratives every time the Packers faced the Vikings for the next 2 years, which is reportedly what Rodgers wants to do, is to play two more seasons. I would absolutely love it. And I know we talked about it a little bit before on a daily about the potential reception of Rodgers at Lambeau Field when the Vikings would come to Lambeau to play. And I think it would be amazing. Again, just the drama of it. And look, full marks for Rodgers to have an opportunity to stick it to Brian Gutekunst. That's certainly what Brett Favre did for that first season when he was in Minnesota. But of course, the Packers ended up getting the last laugh there because the next season they turned around and beat the Vikings twice on their way to a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. So I love it. I love the drama of it, the fun of it. I really hope it happens. And I do think he would probably play pretty damn well in Minnesota. I know there's all this talk about how he definitely looked poor in the first half in particular in New York last season. But towards the end, that's last month in particular, he looked like he was regaining his form. And I know, you know, it takes some time coming back from that Achilles. I do think he and Kevin O'Connell would do some damage there in Minnesota. Now, Father Time is undefeated, and Rodgers certainly can't play the way he used to, especially outside the pocket. His legs look absolutely shot, even at the end of the year when he was healthier. So he would probably have to adjust a little bit. But I think that's an offense, and playing with that, those weapons around him certainly could improve the likelihood of Rodgers staying upright and, you know, doing some damage to the Vikings. I certainly am not rooting for the Vikings. Don't get it twisted. But I really do hope Rodgers lands there and the Packers get to play him, because that would be a ton of fun. And the drama and the hand-wringing and all the kind of, I don't know, lambasting of Rodgers by Packers fans, man, it would be great. I'm all in on it, but your mileage may vary. Hello to everybody in the comments. So good to see everybody mixing it up already, starting with Martin with a super chat. Thanks, buddy. Hey, Nanks, thanks for being awesome. Well, thank you, Martin. That's very nice of you. Wanted to see if you had thoughts on the Packers free agency big board and if they were targeting players like Hobbs and Banks the whole time going to the draft for this year. Oh, great, dude. Have a great time at the draft. Yeah, absolutely. I would be very, very surprised if those weren't guys that they were targeting from the jump. The fact that they hopped on them on day one would suggest that that was the case. I know, and I joked with Andy a couple days ago that, you know, we on the outside will make assumptions and make content about all sorts of different people that we think the Packers could look at or should look at. But that very rarely lines up with what they're doing inside 1265 Lombardi, and that was certainly the case this offseason. So, yeah, I don't think that was a hard left turn or anything from the organization at the start of the legal tampering period. I mean, those were guys that they undoubtedly targeted, and they certainly did what they had to do to get them on their names on the dotted line, get them in the fold. We saw Nate Hobbs address the local media today. He signed his deal. I suspect we'll get Banks tomorrow or the next day. But yeah, I don't think that there was, oh, we were looking at XYZ, but we had to turn to these guys as a consolation prize. Now, look, you can disagree with it, and plenty of people do, judging by my mentions in the comments, etc. But that's very pretty clear that those are the guys that they wanted. Ryan, how are you, buddy? For someone that's in their early to mid-50s, I don't want to wait another 15 years for a Super Bowl. Goody should be more like Ron Wolf than Ted Thompson. He is more like Ron Wolf than Ted Thompson, right down to the fact that he struggles in the first round of the draft, something that people tend to forget about Ron Wolf, but was very true, much like it is with Goody. And also, he signs free agents way more and with greater efficiency and like better results than Ted did. Look, Ted made the big swing with Julius Peppers and almost got to a Super Bowl with him, made the big swing with Charles Woodson, although people probably do forget that nobody wanted Woodson. I mean, the only other team that was interested in Woodson when he was on the market was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Packers signed him. He was out there forever. I mean, they signed him the week before the draft, for God's sakes. So Ted made those big swings, and certainly last year probably doesn't rise to that level, but there were certainly some significant additions in Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, both of whom made a major difference their first year in Green Bay. So, you know, and I just don't buy that, you know, he's more like Ted. I understand this offseason he's certainly seemingly operating more like Ted, given that, you know, he made his first two initial signings and then has gone quiet. It certainly hasn't been as active as we probably expected him to be, but I think he's done what he wanted to do, and we'll probably continue to monitor things throughout the offseason. I suspect, you know, he'll mostly focus on the draft, and we'll see where they land this season. But as far as not wanting to wait another 15 years for a Super Bowl, man, that is some entitled town nonsense right there. I waited 23 years to watch them win a championship, my guy, and I suspect you did too. When we were growing up, remember what it felt like just to get to the playoffs, let alone win a playoff game? And I got no time for tantrum throwing about not getting back to a Super Bowl quick enough. Man, I've seen them win two. I suspect I'm going to watch them win a couple more. I don't want to wait for it, but if that's what it takes, sounds good to me. Just get to the Super Bowl and win the damn thing. Ryan, thanks again, man. Ted's flaw was that he thought Green Bay would outscore everyone. I mean, I know that's the sentiment that Brady Papinga put out there when he mentioned the meeting he had with Ted, and Ted was saying that because Rodgers was becoming so good that they were just going to concentrate on offense and outscore everyone. I've never seen anything else in that regard as far as anyone who worked with Ted, anyone who was in the building at that time, who supports that narrative. So I'm not doubting that's what he told Brady and that's the conversation they had, but I don't know if I completely buy that, if you know what I mean. Klaus, thanks for the super sticker. Appreciate you, man. Jeezy Baby, how are you? Would you consider the team better or worse than last year on paper at this exact time? Nate Hobbs starting across from Jair this season. Well, I still don't think Jair is going to be on the team. So I think Nate Hobbs is starting opposite Keyshawn Nixon on the perimeter, although Carrington Ballantyne will be heard from as far as competition goes this summer. And as far as better or worse than last year on paper at this exact time, probably a little worse, but only because Christian Watson is out. I mean, he's still a part of the team, though. So if you magically considering him healthy, then yeah, probably the same. I think it's a push. But, you know, the idea that they have gotten worse by what, allowing Eric Wilson to walk or Corey Ballantyne to leave, you know, yeah, I don't know, man. I have a hard time buying that. Also, who do they play on Sunday? I mean, if you're better or worse on March 14th, who cares? I mean, all that matters is that you're better or worse week one. Andrew Ware, how are you, man? In my opinion, 12 would love to go to Minnesota and stick it to Goot. I very much agree, Andrew, and I suspect that is driving his interest. And the Vikings probably do not want to completely open themselves to the Aaron Rodgers experience and all the extra attention that comes with it. But I do wonder if, you know, J.J. McCarthy did have that setback of the second surgery. Who knows where he is in his recovery? Maybe they feel it would, you know, be prudent to have a vet come in and run the offense at least for 1 year. But I, like I said, I know Rodgers has talked about wanting to play for two seasons. So I don't know what that would portend for young JJ. Although at Aaron's advanced age, who knows? Maybe, you know, it'd be nice to have a former first round pick in reserve as your backup to go in if Rodgers were to go down or suffer an injury or be out for a length of time, etc. Godsmack, how are you, man? No, just no, no, no. After Favre going to the Queens, I can't live through that again. Aaron and Brett were both childhood heroes of mine. Plus, I already drink enough the way it is. Well, Godsmack, I hear you. But I am obviously on the other side of the spectrum here. I think it'd be brilliant and fun, and the world needs villains, and Rodgers would definitely be one in that situation. I love it. I think it'd be dramatic and great. And just, you know, good for the rivalry. Come on now. We already hate the Vikings as it is. Just put Rodgers over there. Oh, baby. It'd be fun as hell. Jeff, how are you, man? Think of me as Jessica Chastain from Zero Dark 30 waiting on the glass wall. It's been 5 days and we still have not done anything to help the defensive line. Jeff, they might not do anything in regards to bringing in new talent outside of the draft. And I know we talked on Happy Hour. You're not keen on that idea. But I think, A, it's going to depend on who that might be. And B, you know, there's definitely a case to be made for plenty of space for improvement with the guys they have on hand. And I know that's not sexy and it doesn't make headlines. But crazier shit has happened. And they know these guys, they know this personnel way better than we do. So there you go. Joe, thanks, man. Will Kevin O'Connell pick him up at the airport? Possibly. And he'll talk about his kick-ass offense. Yeah, that was a time, man. Cheeto, how are you, brother? Rodgers signing with the Oilers. Very legitimate sources. I mean, everybody makes that Nashville connection because he built a place there and Cobb and Matthews and all those guys live down there, so maybe. Again, crazier shit has happened. Jeff, thanks again, man. had a Steeler fan stop me yesterday and ask if they should want Wilson or Rodgers. I said Rodgers. Not spending money on D-line and free agency tells me they are saving to retain offensive line in 2026. Jeff, you bled two different thoughts and conversations there. I mean, yeah, they have a lot of things to do in 2026. There's no doubt about that. A number one thing they got to do as far as contracts go, though, going forward is Zach Tom. I mean, that's a number one, no question about it. But yeah, there are a lot of decisions to be made next year, no doubt about it. Oh, that's a great question, Rob. I turn 34 next week. Who's your favorite all-time Packer who wore number 34? It's got to be Edgar Bennett, right? I mean, come on.
That's like off the top of my head, but hold on a second.
Yeah, Edgar Bennett, definitely. I was just making sure he wore 34 because that's what I had in my head, and it was indeed Edgar Bennett wearing 34. I absolutely loved watching him play. You talk about people talking about like guys they grew up watching. I grew up watching Edgar Bennett, and I absolutely love him. One of the greatest mutters of all time. Ed, thanks, man. Drama-free daily has been really nice. Really nice. Was there usually drama on daily? Am I usually dramatic? Confused on that one. Godsmack, how are you doing, man? Here's a better scenario. Rodgers becomes Love's QB coach, and the Packers go on to bring the Lombardi home. I know it won't happen, but a man can dream. That last word is key, because that is nothing but a dream. Talk about will never happen. My goodness. Soder, how are you, man? Stokes being heavy on the gluten explains a lot about his injury history. I just love Rasul coming after him on Twitter. That was hilarious. So good. Bill Brasky, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. What would you say to my buddies who rib me that the Packers only have two Super Bowl wins with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks? They are fans of the Texans, Browns, and Giants. I think that says all you need to say. They're just jealous that their teams can't identify talent at the quarterback position like the Packers can. This idea only. Yeah, well, they've been to three of them, and they were on the precipice of a fourth in 2014 if Brandon Bostic doesn't completely pull his head out of his ass. I mean, look, people are always going to talk about that. It's always going to be whatever it is for the opposing fan, because that's all they've got, because they've seen 30-plus years of success and tons of victories for the Green Bay Packers. Only, quote-unquote, two championships is the only arrow in their quiver that they can use at Packers fans. And guess what? You can talk about, especially if they're what, Browns fans, Texans fans? I mean, the Giants fans at least have a leg to stand on, especially because they came through Lambeau and won a Super Bowl, right? Twice. So I get Giants fans maybe lording it over the Packers. But Texans and Browns fans, man, as I said to Ryan earlier, I waited 23 years and I never thought the Packers were going to win a Super Bowl. And then not only have they now won a Super Bowl, they've won two of them. I got to watch it. I enjoyed it. It was two of the greatest days of my life that I'll never forget, and I carry those memories and cherish them with me forever and always. What do Browns fans got? What the fuck do Texans fans got? What? You became a team. You became an expansion team. That's the greatest day of a Texans fan's life. Think about that. Great, man. Hold on to that. I know it's terrible sitting over here, quote unquote, only having two Super Bowl victories that we can cherish forever. I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, those are loser organizations with loser mentality at fan bases. You know, shouldn't be a surprise there. Jason, how are you, man? If Derek Harmon and Kenneth Grant are still on the board at 23, who would you take and why? Oh God, talk about Sophie's choice. Probably Derek Harmon, because I think he can play up and down everywhere you want him to. And I just like his instant kind of ability to get across the line of scrimmage and create havoc in a way that they've always talked about with this scheme. I mean, I am not snubbing my nose at Kenneth Grant in any way, shape, or form, but I really like Derek Harmon. I think he fits this scheme really, really well. Patrick, how are you, man? Do you think Clark moves back to nose? I do, actually. One of the things I'm very interested in is what he's doing offseason-wise in regards to his body, because we've seen throughout the years, dependent on what they've done schematically, he has changed things. He's put on weight or lost weight. There was a year, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago with Barry, where they really wanted to start to try and utilize him on edge a lot more. So he dropped a ton of weight that year. I suspect there's a decent chance. I don't think he's going to bulk. Like, he's not going to be, you know, putting on 50 pounds or anything like that. But I do think there's a decent chance that he's bulking up this offseason with the idea he probably will play a little bit more nose. Now, you still have to penetrate. You still have to be, you know, athletic and explosive, etc. It certainly seemed that was missing a bit from his game last year. But I like him playing at the nose a hell of a lot better than at three tech. So we'll see. It's a great question. We won't probably have any kind of realistic idea until we get the guys back in Green Bay for the offseason program. I'm sure Kenny will be asked about it. And hopefully we'll start to get an answer there. Brandy, how are you? I imagine a darkness retreat in Minnesota going, looking like the book Misery. Whoo, baby. I mean, they sure get enough snow to recreate it. No doubt about it. Jeff, how are you, man? Walker and Tom, not just Tom. Okay, so I am biased and I have two bourbons. Jeff, you just want your Penn State guy taken care of. I know. I'm not completely sold that Walker is a shoe-in slash lock to get a contract extension. I do think there's a decent chance that they have a full-fledged competition in camp between him and Jordan Morgan. And I think Jordan Morgan will be given every opportunity to win the gig. Now, we'll see. Maybe we get to camp and instead they have Jordan Morgan and Sean Ryan vying for right guard again. But I think Walker's played well enough to warrant that discussion. But they did make that selection last year at a left tackle. And we'll see. We shall see. Jason, how are you, man? Is Ezra Johnson the most underappreciated slash overlooked Packer of all time? I don't know about all time, but he is someone that most of the young heads don't remember or know about. He was awesome, though. I loved watching him growing up. Him, Brian Noble, Mark Murphy, the safety, Packer safety, not the current president and CEO. That whole crew, man. Mike Douglas, come on, Mike Douglas. That whole group was so fun to watch. They weren't a great defense, but there were a lot of really good players. They just could never really put it together. Cheeto, how are you, man? If Rodgers goes to the Vikings, I plead Cheesehead TV, put Uncle Rico in a purple 12 jersey and sell that shirt. Well, we couldn't do Uncle Rico because, you know, the movie studio would come after us. But I absolutely, we will, you can bet we will do something. I don't know what, but something. There will be a Cheesehead TV shirt. I guarantee you that. Marshall, how are you, man? Do you think the whole bring in a veteran wide receiver ship has sailed? If not, do you have a guy in mind? I do think it's kind of sailed, and doesn't feel like they ever really considered much that was on offer. They didn't make a call on Devontae. They never inquired about DK Metcalf, and they seemingly didn't reach out about MVS. I can't imagine that anybody else would really be on their radar. Maybe, and I mean underline italicized, maybe Stephon Diggs. But he's coming off a pretty significant injury. I just don't think that there's anyone on the street that they're like, yeah, please come in. We can't use you on special teams. You're going to take snaps away from our young guys who are continuing to develop. I mean, a lot of the guys that are on offer feel like Sammy Watkins too, electric boogaloo. And I just don't think the Packers want to go down that road. Hey, Riled Mouse, how are you? Next, what are your thoughts on the draft in Green Bay? Should I move heaven and earth to get there? How much of a once-in-a-lifetime experience is this? I mean, pretty significant once-in-a-lifetime experience. I don't know about move heaven and earth, but I am a bit surprised that not... I have met a lot of Packers fans over the course of this offseason between the Super Bowl and the Combine who I have talked to who have said they're not going to the draft because... You know, obviously it's difficult with the NFL swooping in and instantaneously snatching up most, if not all, of the hotel rooms from the moment it was announced. So that automatically makes it a little more difficult as far as planning a trip and finding a place to stay. I've heard some pretty horrific stories of people who had rented Airbnbs at a pretty reasonable rate who then were basically essentially kicked off that reservation so that folks could flip it around and make three times as much. So I think that's the most difficult part. If you can find a spot to stay that's workable, you should absolutely do it. It's the biggest event Wisconsin has ever held. It's at the Taj Mahal of football at Lambeau Field. It's 3 days of people who are just obsessed with the NFL, the draft, the upcoming season. it's a weekend where everything is full of hope and everybody's getting better with every pick. It's just the being at the draft period is a great experience. I used to go every year when it was here in New York. Obviously now that it's been on the road, I haven't been, but I am very excited to go to Green Bay and be there that week. And I think, yeah, if you have any inkling of, oh, I kind of want to go, you should go. No question about it, because it is going to be a very rare thing. Absolutely. Mooner. And then here's the other side of things. Hell, I live here and I'm probably not going. Too many people. And hey, I very much understand that. Trust me, I live in New York City and there are plenty of events where I'm like, there's going to be way too many people there. And I just bow out. But I do think this is a very specific, special event that I'm very excited. I cannot wait to be there. I think it's going to be incredible. Now, of course, the one kind of variable is the weather and the fact that it could be anything from like 60 and sunny and like really great and a beautiful night to freezing cold rain. I mean, maybe there's a real small chance that maybe there's snow. It hasn't snowed at that time of year in a long time in Wisconsin, in that part of Wisconsin, but you never know. I always joke with people. I'll never forget as a kid, my junior year of high school in Appleton, Wisconsin, having a May 14th tennis class canceled because of a snowstorm. True story. But that rarely happens, obviously. But yeah, the weather is the big kind of component that you can't really know until we get close. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to track that. All right, I got to get going. I cannot thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go Pack, go.